of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Can you shut the fuck up for 30 seconds? You might learn something.
Welcome to Mama Food Live, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your niece on claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh, shit, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy, Chef Plum, Chef Jeff. Get down here on a Thursday night in January 2020. Listen, I'm excited, Jeff. Are you excited?
Always excited, my man.
You told me I've been a little too excited today so far.
You definitely have a lot more pep in your step. Like, you had three eggs this morning. I don't know.
Well, you said three eggs? Yeah, well, it's been a damn good day. I've been working hard. Got a bunch of stuff taken care of. A lot of loose ends tied up. Feeling really strong, really good. Got the first episode of the brand new program, Elite Chef, airs this coming Friday. That's tomorrow, Jeffy. That's when that shit's coming out.
That's amazing, man.
I'm excited about it, aren't you?
I can't believe it's coming out tomorrow. I'm like blown away. I'm like, is it tomorrow? I was like, holy shit, it is tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
I can't wait. I'm a little nervous because, I don't want to give anything away, but I'm out there. And,
let me just tell you this. The reviews on Jeffy being a judge on this program have been phenomenal. People who have watched the first episode, the powers that be, they're all big Jeffy fans.
Means a lot.
It bothers me. I'm very upset about it.
I'm not ready to thank my mom just yet, but maybe, when we wrap up at the end of next season here.
Well, it's super dope. I'm excited. I'm thanking your mom. I think your mom did a great job. Nice job. Nice
Dude,
job.
My mom's
spitting Jeffy
great
out of
lady.
There.
Trisha Gillette, shout out.
Yeah, shout out. There it is. Also, listen, tonight, sitting in with us, first of all, I guess I should say, we got a great show tonight, man. We're really excited about it. Brian Kaworth, Chef Brian Kaworth from the Culinary Institute of America is joining us tonight on the program. It's really like one big full circle for me, Jeff. I'm excited about it, man. That's the school I went to.
I know. It was it's a fun interview. I'm excited to share with everybody, and it was great to hear you guys talk about school and be excited about it because I hated school so much.
Right.
So it was like such a different point of view for me, and I didn't go to culinary school, so it was like it was really cool.
Well, after the conversation and. It's no secret we pre-recorded it. We told everybody that last week because that's the only time Brian could do it. But, it was funny because after the conversation, you and I talked offline. You're like, man, I don't know. This school kind of sounds like it was pretty cool. It was the first time I felt like you were positive in that note.
Absolutely. After hearing you guys talk about it, and there was definitely a lot of things that, took me a lot longer to probably learn than they would have had I had sucked it up and bit the bullet like you guys had. And the thing that really hit me was a lot of the excuses that I'd always made for myself. I feel like Brian was kind of like, yeah, man, I was about that age too. And,
yeah.
and you were too. And you guys both just chose a different path. And, thank God it worked out for all of us.
Totally.
But it really opened my eyes to, school could be a really good thing if you're looking for that
I'm a fan of school.
That kind of positive thing, positive role modeling thing that you need,
It was a big help for someone like me. I needed the discipline when I went to school. That was the biggest thing I needed.
Yes.
So the cool part was, though, is that our guest, Brian Kaworth, he's friends with Good Brother on this program and contestant, one of our chefs in our Elite Chef competition. Our good friend, ladies and gentlemen, joining us tonight, Good Brother Chef Dan. Dan, hey, brother, what's happening?
Yo, what's up, guys? How's it going?
This is TV Dan now. You hear that? Dan's all he's all fired up. He's like energy. I can hear your smile there, and that bothers me.
Oh, it's accentuating to a whole new level. I'm from ear to ear right now, just happy-go-lucky as could be.
Well, living the dream, brother. That's why it's a good world. It's a good life. 2020 has been good so far. First of all, thanks for the introduction to Chef, to Chef Brian. He's a really good dude. It was a great conversation. I can't wait for people to hear it tonight. But you guys went to school together, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We actually spent all of our associates' classes together. We were in the same wave the entire time. So we spent a lot of time together, in and out of classes, doing a lot of things. Though he's a competitive guy, so we always had a little kind of competitive nature, but we always had that fairness going, you know, that love of food. So it kind of pushed us.
I'm surprised neither one of you have gotten mad at me for RuPaul's entrance music I'm playing here. What the fuck is this?
I was just texting. What the fuck is going on with this dance music?
Oh, see, I was going to start sashaying and pot de bourrée and stuff.
Well, I ain't going to front. Like, that's kind of the mood I'm in. Like, if we were at some place that could dance right now, we would all be dancing. I have that energy in me right now. And Jeffy will tell you, it's infectious. We've been in a dance club together.
It is infectious, in fact. I still have that itch.
Yeah, there you go. Here. There you go. A little easier back. That was a good jam, Noble. I love the conversation we had with him, Dan. I'm glad you joined us with it. So it only made sense for you to be here with us. I mean, dude, you're here on the show all the time now. You're a regular. It doesn't make any sense to fucking make a big deal about it. But I do want to talk to you about, and listen, super important. You can't give anything away. All right, Dan?
Okay.
Elite Chef, you've been there in the mix. The experience so far, how's it been, brother?
It's been an eye-opening experience for sure. It's been great. For me, the best part thus far has just been the camaraderie with the other chefs involved. Everyone's phenomenal. Everyone is at the top of their game. Everyone has been so, like, receptive of each other. And it's been great just kind of being in there and being in the heat of the moment, doing the things we got to do. But everyone being super respectful of each other, it's been really great.
Yeah, I think the camaraderie definitely shows. And it's been pretty cool to see everybody together, which, you know, I'm excited about, Jeff, don't you think?
Definitely, man. The camaraderie itself is what's really fun to watch. It actually, I wish I was sometimes, not all the time, but I wish I was on the other side hanging out. You know, I walk back to, like, say hi to everybody, you know, and, like, you know, whatever, when I get there. And
Jeffy
they're all
has
like,
his own private dressing room on set.
Yeah, you know, they take good care of me. You know, I get my cocktail, someone comes to rub my feet, and then after that, I come out in my robe and I address the contestants and
like you come out, you're like, whatever, everybody, is Chef Jeffy. Hey!
Some people kiss the ring if they feel so obligated, and then you know, I get a couple daddies in there, and then
wait, slow down. How does that happen? Tell me, give me an example how you get a couple of daddies in there. Just give me. You know, all right. The last right. time
for
that
instance,
happened.
For instance, I'll right. see Dan.
Okay.
And I'll be like, what's up, my man? He'll be like, yo, daddy, how you doing?
Oh.
You know, like, because he knows that's a nickname of mine. Yeah. He's just like, you know.
Is that how it goes down, Dan? I didn't know.
Hey, you know, anything to make Jeff happy.
All right.
See?
I like that. I like that. Whatever, he's got the good brother know. Syndrome. That's what it is.
Everyone does. And it's infectious.
But it's been awesome. And I tell you what, I don't want to give, again, we're not giving anything away. Because, Dan, the first episode comes out tomorrow, and it looks great. Everyone looks awesome. I can't wait for people to see specifically the chef packages in the show. Like, you know, what that means is, like, the story of each chef, which is just, I mean, they're so well done. Our team, I can't shout them out enough. Our friends over at Mac Media did a hell of a job. And
hell yeah.
I mean, Jeff, you've seen it. You know. I mean, they've done a hell of a job.
No, man. They're a top-notch production team.
Good people.
Every single person on the team is awesome. You know, listen, from the top down, you know,
you've experienced this, Jeff. Listen, they sent me the first cut. Dan, check this out. They sent me a cut, and I gave notes, and I didn't get any pushback on. They said, "Yeah, no problem, Chef. We can do that. Yeah, we can fix that. Yeah, we can change that." Which that right there shows you someone who's good at what they do.
Yeah, that whole experience. They were very smooth the whole time. Like, the way everything went was smooth from beginning to end, as far on my end, from what I've seen. So, I mean, that says a lot. There wasn't a lot of, like, you know, extra bullshit. It was just, like, straight to the point. They handled their business. Everybody was where they needed to be, and it kind of just worked out. So that tells you right there.
Totally. And so the first episode, we're doing tavern food. We're in a Eli's Tavern in Milford, Connecticut. And this is, again, this is branded content for Eli's Restaurant Group. But, I mean, there is a cash prize. There is, I mean, there's a good prize package, and it's a great platform for chefs to have to be able to promote themselves to show how great they can be and what they can do. And You know, Dan,
listen.
Go ahead.
This is eye opening, man. If you don't know about Connecticut chefs, you got to tune in and watch this show. I don't know that much about Connecticut at all. I'm not from there. I don't hang out there that often. And I was blown away at the skill set of these men and women that are on the show. It's really crazy. Yeah. Not to mention the other whatever 85 or 90 people that came out. You know, so I mean, it's
right. We had a lot.
Yeah,
and so just because you're getting the exclusive, you're getting that exclusive here on Plum Love Foods. Everyone's going to be like, "Yo, that's your boy Dan. He's part of your crew. You guys, that's one of your good brothers." Well, make no mistake about it, Dan, you can be a testament to this. It is 100% a blind tasting. No one knows who made what.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm actually really happy it worked out that way, that was worked into it, because I from the beginning, I play fair. Even there, I mean, even within the competition, like, I don't want anybody missing in some shit or, you know, ingredients not falling their way. Like, I want everybody to be on an even playing field. That's how I am. Because I feel like I'm going to take anybody down anyway. So I'm going to handle it one way or the other. I just got to handle my business. So as long as everybody's handling theirs, everybody got to do what they got to do. You know what I mean?
But you can speak from a contestant, you know, being there and having the opportunity to be a part of it. And, you know, your boys here. I mean, dude, we're not friends. We're really good friends. Like, we're very tight. Like, and I don't hide that from anybody. I mean, everybody knows that. And Jeffy's tight. We're all tight. But, I mean, literally, the tastings
that's right.
are complete.
You know I'm tight, Daddy.
That's, oh, for fuck's sake, Daddy. But it's 100% blind. Like, we don't know. In the first episode, we don't know which plate stands. We had no idea. And Jeff, you can vouch for that.
You're not even
in the kitchen.
No, I'm not in the kitchen. Like I said, I come in on the backs of the set. I see where everyone's hanging out in their, like, dressing room area. I say hi to everybody. They're all, like, hanging out. They're like, "Oh, yeah, look at this guy. He's, like, you know, wearing a nice shirt. He's not one of us." And I'm like, no, really, I cook. And they're like, no, you don't. And then...
Yo, it'd be remiss if we didn't shout out our good friends, Michelle Ragusa. She's on the episode coming out and being a judge. And, of course, one of our regulars, the one of the best, one of my favorite people in the world, chefs. I call everybody chef to me. You see that? Stephanie Webster from CZ Bites is one of our regular judges, too. And, just everybody did a great job. We're excited for you to see the episode. We're excited for you to see what happens. We're really, really proud of this. We put a lot of work into it, and we can't wait to show you guys what we've been up to. I could not be more excited about it. The episode's going to be posted on Facebook. We'll all be reposting it on Friday. I think it's going to be 11 a.m. it comes out. We're going to post it, do a mad blitz for it. You'll see some stuff on Instagram. You've already seen the teaser, but you'll see some stuff everywhere on social media, man. Elite Chef CT, we can't wait. It comes out this Friday at 11 a.m. Super excited about it, Jeffy.
Absolutely, man. I'm super excited as well. Like, I'm super proud of all the people who worked on it, because it's really awesome, and I can't wait for everyone to see it and like I said, see what's going on in Connecticut.
Yo, I can't wait. It's great people, and shout out to Eli's for giving a platform for these good brothers and sisters to come out and do that. I mean, Dan, often is it you see a restaurant group like promote other chefs?
No, that is awesome. Like, that, I give them so much respect for that, because that's like genuine care for the industry to promote other chefs while at the same time promoting your own restaurant. That says a lot about the confidence they have in what they do, as well as the confidence they have in the state of Connecticut and what we have.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So check it out, man. When we come back, we got our friend Chef Brian Kaywork is going to be on the program with us from the CIA. That's the Culinary Institute of America. Myself, Chef Jeffy, and Chef Dan had a chance to sit down and talk to good brother Brian for about an hour. And it's a really, really great conversation, man. I'm excited for you guys all to hear it. Seriously, I think we made a new friend here, and we look forward to doing some more work with these guys. And, you know, good brothers like Brian are out there teaching the young culinary world as they come up. So for that, I think there's hope for them, and that makes me excited. So when we come back, we're going to be joined by Chef Brian Kaywork from the CIA. It's myself, Chef Jeffy, Chef Dan. Stay right there. We'll see you in just a second. Hang tight, guys. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco, and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word is not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM. That's ErgoChef.com.
Wait, Mom. Hi, I'm Jocko Golden, award-winning chef, celebrity janitor, and creator of the Weight Mop.
Weight Mop.
What is a weight mop? Well, a weight mop is your standard mop.
Weight Mop.
Reimagined and revolutionarily designed by yours truly to keep your house clean and your body mean.
Weight Mop.
With our patented sliding three-plate system, coming in three sizes, 4, 8, and 147, they're stackable and interchangeable, so you can get that workout in regardless of your fitness level.
Weight Mop.
It's simple to use. Just lock in the plate and mop yourself back to sexy.
Chef Hans here. So tired of curling out in your dish pit? By Weight Mop. And voila! Now you have strong girly man.
Weight Mop.
Hey, how you doing? Jimmy Capello here. My wife was complaining she never got time for the gym. I saw the Weight Mop. I thought two birds with one stone, right? Hey, and now she looks out of this world.
Weight Mop.
Yeah, my husband got this really heavy mop. What's the celebrity janitor?
Weight Mop.
Weight Mop.
Cause you got a weak shoulder.
Weight Mop.
Cause you need to feel bolder.
Weight Mop.
Jocko's creation.
Weight Mop.
Mop across the nation.
Weight Mop.
We're against segregation.
Weight Mop.
Call now. 1-800-WEIGHT-MOP. That's 1-800-WAITMOP.
A Sizzle Plate product.
Yeah, coming back live right here, Plum Love Foods Live on a Thursday. Tonight's a fun night for me, guys. I'm going to tell you why. Because, you know, as you guys all know, I'm a CIA graduate from, 2003. And Dan, of course, you're a graduate. When did you graduate, Dan?
Yeah, 2003 was AOS and 2004 was bachelor's.
Yeah, I was February 2003 is when I was. That time was really good for me. It was definitely needed. I mean, it was very, very... I mean, you were the one I came from the same program. I think the program's changed a little bit now. The discipline level was kind of next level in that program. But it's fun to be able to come on the show tonight. And I guess the long story short I'm trying to get at here is that, Dan, when you were at school, one of your buddies actually moved on to had a career and then came back to become an instructor at CIA.
Yeah, my boy Brian. You know, he was, we were in the school together. He was like top of the class. He did everything, handled his business, and it's not even a surprise that he'd be a teacher at the school because he was that kind of guy.
Even, ladies and gentlemen, he is a forager. He is currently the instructor and head chef over at American Bounty Cafe. You can check that out at CIA, American Bounty. It's an American restaurant. It's delicious. It was one of my best experiences at CIA. Ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to our good friend, Chef Brian Kaywork. Chef, good evening. How are you?
Hello. How's it going, guys?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Thank you for taking the time to come hang out with us. We appreciate it, man. I kind of feel like, even still, like you and I, we have probably the same amount of years of experience, the same everything in the business, possibly even parallel. But for some reason, I still feel like I need to like yield to you if I see you and say, yes, chef, and like not really look at you in the eye.
Well, I would be calling you chef either way, so it doesn't matter. It's the way we talk to each other. And I definitely don't deserve any mention of Jedi Master. We all aspire to that.
Well, Jeffy insists I call him a Jedi, so that's why.
You call me Daddy.
it's all pecking order stuff.
That's right. So, bro, how long have you been at CIA now as an instructor?
So I've been an instructor for 3 years this January. So next month will be 3 years.
I mean, did you see yourself kind of getting into that when you were at school? Is it something? Because I always said to myself, man, I'd love to probably eventually at some point in time come back and teach at CIA. It did so much for me in my life. You know, I went to school and I needed discipline. I didn't have any. And CIA really provided that for me.
I think, yeah. I mean, I remember thinking that it would be cool. I mean, it's one of those things that you say, but you don't know if you're really going to follow through on it.
Right.
But I ran into somebody else I graduated with, and apparently I was talking about it because I thought it was all internalized that I was thinking that, but he remembered right away that I had mentioned that. So
wow.
I guess I was putting it out there. I don't know. Damn. But yeah, I felt at home there. I liked it a lot. I mean, it was the one place that made sense to me. And yeah, it's real super disciplined and you got to be on it. But I don't know, if you're dedicated and you like cooking, it's kind of comes easy, I think.
I mean, because you're kind of just engulfed in it constantly 24/7 there. It just kind of becomes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's good. I mean, it's again, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily trying to like weed out or filter anyone out, but I think just the intensity and the expectation level kind of does it. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I just know. I remember I was like 20, I don't know, 26 or so when I came through. So I'd already lived life a little bit, and I was just okay. I had a bachelor's degree, and I mean, I was an all right student, but I didn't take it that seriously the first go around. But when I went to school there, I just remember, I don't know. I mean, I just felt like I was amongst my own. Everybody was super on it. I guess I lucked out. I just had a good group. Dan was in the group. We had a lot of, it was a ragtag bunch, but it was like everybody brought different things to the table. And it was just, it was a great experience.
It becomes your team. That's who you're with, you know, that's the people you got to get through to the end with, hopefully, you know. It almost kind of feels like a reality show. Cause I know in my group, a whole bunch of people didn't finish and didn't make it. You know, they just get weeded out.
Is that right? Is that what happened?
We had, yeah, I think we, like, God, I don't remember how many people it was now. A bunch of people in my group didn't get through. You know, I think it was something like 30 people end up dropping out from gastronomy to when you actually graduate. They're not in your group anymore.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy. How was Dan?
How old were you when you came through? Oh, we'll get into Dan.
Yeah, good. I was 25, 26, something like that.
Okay, yeah, so it was similar for you. And did you, when you went there, was there a lot of, did you feel like it was a lot of students that were similar age?
You know, it's funny because I think when I was there, it was really kind of all over the place. I mean, I had a guy in my group that was 61, you know, and then we had some kids who had worked 6 months in the food industry and then just, you know, came to CIA. And then there were a lot of guys like me who had a lot of experience. I had already run a restaurant, but you know, I wasn't doing it the right way. I was just doing what I thought was correct. And, you know,
I
couldn't tell you what a batonette was or what a brunoise was, but I could work a station on a line and hold it down.
Yeah, I was
and,
the same way.
You know,
I was the same way. It was like you understood the athletic aspect of it, but I didn't know anything about like the chef culture. I didn't come from that kind of upbringing, and I definitely didn't come from those kind of restaurants. And so, yeah, I mean, I remember I knew I could hang, but I didn't know anything about, you know, anything about the chef culture.
Yeah, the technical terms of it, you know, I don't know any of those. But, you know, after going to school, you learn real quick.
Yeah. So just for clarity, we graduated September 2002.
Oh, there you go, Dan. See, Dan's terrible. Oh.
I think you graduated with me, right? Anthony Bourdain was our speaker, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Ha!
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, it's true. True story.
I remember that. So we were all in school together about the same time. I graduated February of 2003. And I remember going over to Hobnobbin that night that Bourdain spoke at the graduation, and he was there.
Yeah.
And
there's some rumors and innuendos about how that all went down, but I did hear he was buying drinks for people and and hanging with students. That was like his early stuff, you know, like he was still living pretty hard and living that life.
Rumor was he found some bakers that he really enjoyed as well that night.
There's talk, I don't want to pass along rumors, but I've heard similar rumors.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny because that night, so another good brother here that's on our show, some Chef Rob, was at CIA about the same time the rest of us were. And Rob and I actually, we think, hung out that night for the first time. And, you know, we just hung out with a guy at a bar, you know, and that was it. He was hanging with, we were laughing. And then turns out now we're good buddies now, you know, however many thousands of years later. It's just funny, small world, man. But That's I think CIA brings that kind of quality of people. You have your Anthony Bourdain. I got to, God, there's so many big names that come through for graduations or even just to hang out, man. Do they still do that a lot?
Yeah, they do. And I have to say, now that I'm doing the math, if you came through Katerina, I was probably your fellow.
Were you really?
I was a Katerina fellow. I was Al Forno.
Oh, my God. You might have been now. I don't know how we could ever figure that out.
Because I was there pretty much all day. I was there AM and PM. So it makes it easy. If you came through Katerina, somehow we crossed paths.
Explain what fellow means so people know what that means.
Fellow, if it's changed names. It's not called the same thing anymore. But basically, it's a postgraduate position that you apply for. And all the restaurants at the school have them because the classes change so often. The chef instructors, they need basically a sous chef who kind of helps them keep everything constant. So, you know, as the classes change, the two entities that stay the same is going to be the chef and the MIT, or if you're in the front of house instructor and the MIT. We call it MIT now. So it was a fellow back then, but now it's a manager in training.
Nice. It's interesting. I bet you probably are right, because I was probably January when I was in Cat, because I was the last group that did all four restaurants at the
time. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was crazy. As a fellow, that crossover was kind of nutty. But, yeah, that old curriculum still, I'm proud that we went through it.
Yeah, it's definitely very different.
Could you explain something to me really quick, guys? Because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Sorry, we're going down. We're talking CIA talk, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but like when you said you had to do all four restaurants, and what now people don't have to cook at all four restaurants, or like, I mean, what's that about?
So the curriculum has changed. You know, it changes over time. The CIA is always changing; it always does. But when we went to school, there was four public restaurants, and you would go through all four of them as classes, 7 days in the front, 7 days in the back. And you would just kind of make your way through the restaurants now.
And all of which, by the way, Chef, let me just chime in for Jeffy. All of which was got rated like super high. And the craziest thing about these restaurants, Jeff, was every 7 days there was a new crew.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So it was like a whole new crew every 7 days in each restaurant.
And, well, and you're looking for the public on your first day in. Like you're jumping right in.
Yeah. You're running a station right off the bat. I mean, there's no cold opening. You're in. You're just going, and these restaurants are like rated and reviewed. Like they're good restaurants.
And they have obviously recipes that have been on the menu for 30 years, right? That you have to nail.
You know, some of them have a long, you know, kind of pedigree. Some of them are just the repertoire of the chef who's teaching it. So, but this, you know, it's not like going to beauty school where you get like a $5 haircut and you pay for a $5 haircut. Like it's real money people are spending there.
Oh yeah.
So it's you know, you definitely it gets your attention, that's for sure.
And so but
yeah,
at
I mean
the time,
it was like what you look forward to.
When we were there were four that you had to go through each. You did 7 days front of the house, 7 days back of the house. And this is what you did before you graduate. Like this is like you basically work. You go to work. And you've already done, you know, almost your entire full, you know, associate's degree program up to that point. And then once you finish those, for me, American Bounty, I think, was the last restaurant, and then it was graduation.
Yep.
So it's like, is it like the first half of your year is like what, like a lecture and like classroom, like learning, and then you go right to the restaurant, and then you just work in the restaurant to like get chops?
You mean in like the course of the day when you're
yeah, like I mean I guess I didn't go to culinary school, so I'm trying to wrap my head around this. Like, so in the morning you would get up and what, like have to go to like a lecture class and like hear somebody teach you like how to make, say, a souffle or something, and then that night you would do a shift at the restaurant.
Basically, you have an AM class or a PM class. Either you're in the class that cooks the lunch or you're in the class that cooks the dinner, and you start those days with a lecture. Well, actually, you would start the days by picking up your order,
right?
Putting your order away, whether it's the fish, meat, produce, you know, wine and beverages, whatever it is. Basically, groups of you are picking up those orders, putting them away, getting the kitchen kind of set up, and then you break for lecture. You do a short lecture, and then you come back up to the restaurant, you have a basically an abbreviated service. It's an abbreviated day. You have a couple hours of prep, you have a short service, and you clean up, wrap up, and you call it a day.
But before you even get to that, when you first get to CIA, like when I was there, it was gastronomy. So it's an entire day of sitting in front of a lecture and learning about the science of the stomach and you know, yeah, understanding things. And then you may have another class as well. And then you finally get to a skills class called Skills 1. And I remember my first the first thing I ever made that I got to eat at CIA was a split pea and ham soup I made in Skills 1. And you basically spend 8 hours in a, you know, doing knife cuts all day and making stock.
Yeah. Yeah. So the restaurants are the last part of everything. So it's a culmination of all these kind of like individualized or specialized classes, from food safety to gastronomy to nutrition to, and then to like skill work and technique work and stuff. And you, I mean, progress.
There's a whole class about building a business plan to open a restaurant. But what's interesting, I always thought too, is if you're in Asian cuisine or you're in fish kitchen, you know, you basically run that, like it's run like a restaurant, to where, you know, if I'm in fish kitchen, that's my block that I'm in, or the time frame in my curriculum that I'm at, you know, people come to eat at that kitchen at a certain time. You got to be ready to go for service.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very like intertwined. So yeah, exactly. Every kitchen, some of these kitchens are production kitchens that you're producing for other students to eat their actual lunch or dinner. Uh-huh. And, you know, and it, again, it's, you're open for maybe like 45 minutes or an hour.
So does the school hire out like prep cooks and other cooks to keep these restaurants going? Or is it all student body that's cooking and prepping throughout the day to make everything work?
It's all student body.
Wow. That's really impressive to me. That's crazy.
I got to tell you, now that I'm the chef, it's definitely on my mind to make sure that whatever menu I do is achievable in that amount of time. Like, there's things I would do differently if I had people there for longer periods or I had other shifts. But knowing that basically they have 2 hours each day, you got to be real clever about how you create a menu.
Man, that's crazy.
Go ahead, Dan, please.
I was about to bring you in.
Yeah, real quick. One connecting factor between the two of them is that you're basically training to go through all the processes you need to do to walk in on any day of work, to come in, do what you got to do, and start the progress. So when you get to the restaurant, there's no, I mean, you had the lecture, but I remember as being like, this is what you're going to do. You're on this table. These are the things you're going to need. Get your mise en place, handle it. Because you've already been taught all that before.
Yeah, you know the skills.
So it seems like it's the first day, but you've been training for, it's like you've been training for this moment your whole life, and now you're jumping in and you're handling it. So you're supposed to just come in and you're graded on what you're doing. So it's like, imagine coming to work and somebody standing over you going, oh, how you cutting that onion right there? Like, you'd be like, oh, wait. So it puts a whole bunch of pressure on you.
Yeah.
It's definitely like I said, it's a discipline part of a chef, and that's where I needed that in my life. How was Dan as a student with it when you guys were together?
Dan was really good. I mean, Dan was kind of, you know, he was like this enlightened thug, you know?
That's like, really good.
No, really, though. Like, there's something about him that he was always a straight shooter. You know, he was always, like, some people kind of hid in the class and they, you know, weren't doing the heavy lifting. Dan was in the mix all the time, you know? And he would call anybody out who's, like, not carrying their weight. I really respected Dan when he came through. We're not like the same kind of people at all, but you know, if food is doing the talking, I think that we speak the same language for sure.
Well, that's awesome.
That's what I remember. I mean, and he was a super good athlete. I remember we had like some tackle football game and he was owning that. And you know, like, he was just this madman. Like, he was just all over the place.
He would tackle you to the ground.
I didn't even remember anything about a family. I don't remember any of that. Which makes, you know, makes me respect all that even more. It's crazy.
I had my daughter there. The second, right after we came back from what you call it?
Extern. Yeah.
I had her until.
I vaguely remember it, like, now that you talk about it, but, you know, I just, for whatever reason, it's not like how I remember you. I mean, I don't know why. I just don't. I think I was always just focused on performance. You know,
he's
I guess
still
maybe
a sweetie, Chef. He's still a sweetie. Don't worry.
I follow him, man. He's an all right guy. Like he's got it together.
No, Dan's he's a good human, man. Dan's good people. Jeff, I'm gonna get Chef to break down some more stuff for us, but we haven't put a plug out there for him yet, man. Would you mind throwing something in there for him, giving him some love?
Absolutely, man. If you want to check out Brian more of what he's doing, it's at Chef BKCIA on Instagram. Check him out there. And if you're ever up at the CIA, you want to go to the American Bounty Restaurant where he's the lecturing instructor. Check out some of his food and see what he's teaching these fine young minds.
Chef, are you doing PM or AM at American Bounty?
I am PM.
Oh, great. So we can call you. You can help us with the rezzo, right?
Yeah, of course. Done.
Nice.
Anyone is listening, if they say that,
oh, be careful.
They want the reservation and it came through this podcast, it's all good. We'll make it work.
Done.
Nice. Because I remember it used to be really hard to get reservations.
It's still a little tricky. But I think, I think that some of it is a little bit overblown.
Okay. All right.
But there's definitely seats that can be had at any point.
Well, Chef, talk about the program in general now, kind of, if you can, like, the cliff notes of it, like from start to finish, and how different is it from what we went through? And, is it something you think that if young culinarians checking out this program should really consider? Because I think CIA is kind of has that, that label of being super expensive and all that sort of stuff. But I promise you, man, trust me, I had nothing when I went to CIA, and I made it through.
Yeah, I mean, if we're just going to talk about affordability, I remember graduating with about $15,000 in scholarships and grants that I never had to pay back.
Yeah.
I mean, so as expensive as it is, there's a long line of companies and interest groups that just want to be side by side CIA. So there's a lot of opportunities,
and they'll help. You
just got to do it. You got to go work it. I mean, I was at the financial aid office all the time.
Yep.
So you it's not going to come. No one's handing it to you. You got to earn it. But
they will
there.
Help you, which is kind of cool.
Oh yeah, they're great. You know, they remember you.
Yeah. For sure.
In fact, by the time I graduated, they started sending me things because I had made an impression on them.
That's what's
so,
up.
So, that's good,
How about the program now?
All right, so the program now, I think it's real easy if you graduated a decent amount ago, especially with the what we call the older curriculum.
Yeah, that was...
I mean, everybody looks back at every, stuff like that very fondly, and it's for good reason. And sometimes they see the changes that go on at school, and it just seems so drastic. There's changes that have happened to the curriculum where some things have been emphasized more than others, and some things have been de-emphasized more than others. And I think a lot of it represents that the student body has changed at the school.
Yeah,
there used to be a lot of students what they call non-traditional.
Yep.
Which would have been us.
Absolutely.
These are basically someone who's older, who's not coming straight out of high school, and they have some industry experience or just life experience, and self-motivated. Financing is a big deal, but like once you get them in the classroom, they're all about it. And now the school has a lot of bachelor's programs, and they're just shifting with the way that the people that show interest in the school is younger groups. And so the curriculum had to change. The curriculum had to address that these, some of these students need to focus a little bit more on writing and basic math, and they had to have different types of skills emphasized. And it definitely is still the curriculum it always was. It's just some things have been emphasized and some things not. Like the we were talking about the restaurants and going through all four restaurants every 7 days, that scenario wouldn't really do well with the student body we have now. A lot of them haven't had a whole lot of, industry experience, and those restaurant experiences are really important to them.
Yeah.
They've done extern. They've probably have done some other things, but having a little bit more time with them. So now I have 3 weeks with them instead of 7 days.
Oh, that's
and
good.
You really get to work some stuff out. They really get to be on the line. They get to like really fabricate. They're all, so that's a perfect example of how it's different and it has changed. But I think that it's, it, it's because everybody's trying to keep the students that are coming to class to us now, everybody's keeping them in mind. There's definitely, some stuff's hard. They broke up charcuterie and garmanger. Those used to be two separate classes.
Yeah.
And now it's just garmanger and it covers everything.
Wow.
So that's tough to swallow because we all appreciate how
charcuterie was great.
That's just a craft. Yeah. That's a class that's like, I think, is a very distinguishable feature about the school. No one really gets to be shown those old school methods unless you work in like a classic restaurant or someone's classically trained.
Right.
And, so it's hard to see that that's been de-emphasized, but.
But I get it though. If you think about even the main, unless you're doing some high-end hotel or something, a lot of restaurants these days probably don't focus as much on that as, they used to, so maybe it's not that important anymore.
I mean, a lot of facilities now, they outsource a lot of stuff
right.
like that.
Right.
When we went through, you probably did ice carving too, right?
Yeah, it was so fun. Absolutely, outside.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, of course we don't do that now. It's a shame because it was awesome, but realistically speaking, if you're trying to set people up for the future and like how to run a business, there's not a lot of in-house ice carving, that goes on.
So due to my extern, I went – the extern, for everyone, just so you know what that is, you would finish your wines class and then you go on – is it 9 weeks extern? I don't remember how long it was.
Extern's 18.
18 weeks. So basically you take 18 weeks and you basically go intern someplace or work someplace.
Yeah.
And, you get paid shit money, if any, but it's a chance to go explore and really find what you could do. And then for me, I couldn't really afford to go anywhere else. I had to get paid something, so I ended up going back to Richmond, Virginia. But it's where I got to meet and work with Sean Brock, and I worked at the Jefferson's Hotel, and I spent all this time learning, doing actual ice carving, because they would do this massive Sunday brunch thing at the hotel with an ice carving, and I got to do them, which was really, really cool. So, I don't know.
Awesome.
I think it's a lost art, man. It's fun.
It is a lost art, and I really hope that. Yeah, that's the hard part, So I find myself as a faculty member who remembers that stuff really in a constant, constantly judging the discussions that we have of like, okay, I understand that some skills aren't relevant today, but should we be the place that still carries them on because they might be relevant again in the future?
Yeah.
That's the hard part. How do you be the ballast of the industry and not just like chase all the shiny things,
right.
That's the tricky one for the school to kind of maneuver through.
But you guys are also doing like beer brewing now at school, right?
Yeah. So there's Brooklyn Brewery installed an area in the new student commons area that we're now able to teach brewing. We have our own brewmaster. The school just won a bunch of gold medals and some of the beers that students made. So they're really, and they're super good. They're great beers.
That's fantastic.
So yeah, that's where things have changed. The beverage program has definitely gotten a lot better. There's a sake brewery that's opening up in Hyde Park that the school's partnering with. There's the bachelor's programs are really taken off, and there's a lot of like food justice and applied food studies. And there's some really interesting courses now for students to take, culinary science.
Do they get a chance to pick? But Jeff, just you don't get the chance to pick your classes. They tell you what you're going to take, and it's at least that's how it was.
That's shifting too.
Really?
There's some big stuff. Yeah. There's one of the biggest changes that's on the horizon is that instead of having 15 or 16 start dates, and every 3 weeks is a new class, and every 3 weeks is a graduation. We've begun 3 start dates a year.
Oh, wow.
And we're moving to a semester program that is much more aligned with like a college university.
That's crazy.
It's massive. It's
See?
Crazy. I mean,
I
it's
go,
a
I
big,
can go to the
big
CIA
deal.
Now.
You can go now, yeah. Jeff?
Yeah, now I can deal with it. It seems a little more civil.
That's funny.
I think that's well put, actually.
That's funny. It probably is more civil. Let's get his plugs out there one more time for him, Jeffy. I feel
Absolutely,
bad.
You want to check out? Oh, I'm sorry.
I just keep wanting to ask him questions and talk about CIA more, but I'm going to make sure we get his Instagram out there for everybody.
Dude, this is super exciting. I mean, from my perspective of not going to school and not having this background at all, it's really enlightening, like, to hear about what you guys actually did and how you guys learned it. Because I can see the holes in my own learning that were hard for me to fill in with just books. Like, I learned a lot about cooking and technique through books and, like, experience and eating. But, like, no one ever taught me about budgeting or any of that kind of shit. I had to just learn that in the fire, you know, like, and I think
you definitely can. And you definitely can. I mean,
oh, I did.
This whole industry is based on apprenticeship and mentors, you know, like, it's not that school's the new thing out of our industry.
Yeah.
But you just learn it faster.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm too thick headed. I couldn't. I was an adult by the time I thought about going to culinary school. So when I went to check it out, I couldn't compute paying someone to go to work. Like, I was just like, I'm already doing this every day. Like, what do you mean? And they were like, you know, you have to do a couple, you know. I went to the New England Culinary Institute and checked it out with an extended education program with a chef that I'd worked with. And it just was, I couldn't wrap my head around it. But hearing you guys talk about it, it makes me kind of lament that I didn't give it a shot, you know.
Well, it's interesting. So, Brian, Chef, what would you say to someone who says that? Because that's a really when Jeff tells me that, I can't really argue that with him. I mean, I was kind of in the same boat. I was 25. I've been running a restaurant. I knew there was things I didn't know, and it was hard for me to be able to. I mean, no one supported me. I had to pave my own way and take care of everything myself. So I went to school, and then I worked. I mean, what he's saying.
I was the same way. I graduated so broke. I was the same way.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, everything, it's all very personalized. I know that's kind of a cop out for an answer, but I think it's true. I mean, everybody has so many, you know, it depends the support system they have, what kind of, you know, it's not even about whether you have the money. It's like, what do you have all around you that can support you kind of stepping, you know, off the fast track for a little bit to slow down and go to school? Like those kind of things are really, really hard to do. And if the things don't line up, I mean, you got to follow your instincts and that's it. It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I visited a lot of schools I moved from California and I was very happy out there. But when you did the math, I was like, oh man, I could go to Manhattan and, you know, spend a lot less, but it's a lot less time and the facilities aren't anything like the school up in Hyde Park. And so, it was a big number, but I think it's just some sticker shock, honestly. There's a lot of support. There's a lot of support students have now that we didn't have, you know, at all. And I think that if you were to be the age that you were looking, Jeff, and you were doing that now, I think that you would find that you would have a lot more support than what we had when we were initially looking and going.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, what it is, it was also like I'd already kind of gone to college and that didn't work out. And I was like, you know, like, am I going to pay money to go to another college and then like have some guy yell at me? And then like, you know, it was like, it wasn't quite a neckerchief school, but the guy kind of said to me like, oh, you're going to have to cut your beard and you're going to have to do this. And you're going to have to do that. And I had little dreadlocks at the time. And the guy was kind of like not really feeling that either, you know, and he kind of made jokes about it. And I kind of was like, oh, I'm going to hate this place. Like,
Jeffy,
I'm going
to
fuck somebody up.
Jeffy, I had hair down to my waist, and I had to cut it when I went to CIA.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. True. Well, see, you had that in you. Like, you're really good at, like, you had the foresight to see that, like, this is something you needed to do for yourself. I was so like, oh, hell no. You know what I mean? Like, I refused to do it. In fact, I wasn't going to cook anymore. When I moved to the Hamptons at first, I was going to landscape. It just kind of drew me back out later. You know what I mean? It was like
wait, you're going to be a landscaper?
Yeah, I moved here and I wrote off cooking. I was like, I'm never going to cook again. I'm making $25 an hour cash. This is great money. I'm going to live like a king.
What were you, like, cutting grass? What were you doing?
Nah, they took me off of that the first day because I was terrible and I became a weeder. And so I had to basically lay on a tarp on my stomach and just pull weeds out all day long.
So you were happy you got to lay down in the grass.
I laid down and I was high as a kite all day. I just sat in a bush getting stoned. My boss would come around like, what the hell's that smell? I'd be like, oh, I don't know. I'd be burying stuff underneath people's rose bushes. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know, man. There's something to be said about like spending 10 years or whatever, how many years it's been in a windowless room cooking versus being outside.
That's true.
Cutting grass and weeding. I mean, I know what no pun intended, right? The grass is greener, but.
I just moved to the Hamptons. I was like working on billion-dollar houses. I'd never seen anything like it in my fucking life. I was freaking out.
See, that, I think that that's a distinction, though. I think it sounds to me that you were already a little half in, half out. You weren't quite sure about a lot of it.
Yeah, well, you know what it is, too? I come from a small town, Ithaca, New York, and, you know, I was working full-time as a quote-unquote sous chef for a guy and making – I was taking home barely $400 a week, and I was like, this is no way to sustain a life. You know, this isn't going to work. Like, and then once I moved to the Hamptons and I started getting paid, then it kind of changed my tune a little bit, too. It made me want to do it, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that math is still pretty tough for current culinary students. It's still – the industry is still really rough to get professional training, and what you have to do to start really making some money for yourself, it's still on everybody's minds.
Well, I think we're seeing a shift in that now, and it started when we were in school, but it's getting even much bigger shift now than I think it was then, where you're seeing companies like, you know, these corporate dining type places that are they're coming in, they're finding graduates, they're paying them a decent wage, giving them basically banker's hours, and saying, you can come in here, feed these people, and you know, you can make whatever you want. We have a good brother who works at 30 Rock, doing the corporate dining there, and he is doing fantastic, and he makes whatever he wants, and it's a corporate dining job, but they're paying him good money, he gets a good wage, he gets, you know, vacation time. He doesn't have to work weekends, and he's basically works
probably
banker's
a beautiful
hours.
Benefit package.
Amazing benefit
and,
package.
And corporate dining's coming a long way too. I mean, they do a lot of great food.
Right. Well,
that's
my point.
Not my it's background. Just... That's not my deal. But I look at it from far away, and I'm like, it's come a long way.
Dude, there's a really solid chance in my life that if that had been that way when I finished culinary school, I might have gone that way. I mean, good money.
And let me tell you, Google is oh, a bro. Really
get me started.
Large hire. Yeah, I'm just saying it. Okay. They're hiring a lot of graduates.
Yeah, they're.
Let me ask you something, Brian. Let me ask you something. This is an important question.
Yeah.
Everything you're talking about chefs not making money. I'm very passionate about this, and so is Plum. Together, we as a Plum of Foods, we want chefs to get paid what we think they're worth. How hard would it be for private chefs like Plum and myself? I've been a private chef for over 10 years. Plum's been working for himself for over 10 years, and we both have over 20 years experience. To come to someplace like the CIA and just like – even just for a day to talk to these kids and kind of tell them about another, you know, avenue to maybe get work or a way to look at it.
When you say another avenue, what do you mean?
As like a private chef work. Like, you know, like so trying to work into that sort of avenue or those type of companies or doing those types of parties or one-offs or, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't think it would be that hard. I don't know how that goes.
Yeah.
My own orbit, but I definitely, you know, these students are super savvy. And they're hungry. I find them to be very humble. They really want to hear what everyone has to say about the good and the bad, about what they've experienced. I find them to be really receptive of that.
Man,
I do.
That's awesome.
There's a lot of things you can say about the current generation that fall into a lot of stereotypes, and it's easy. You know, it's easy to do when. You know, it feels very different as a Gen Xer. They are very different than me. They are not. They're not like it was when I was going through.
Oh no!
But some of the stuff they bring up isn't so bad. You know, they really. You know, I have to say one of the best things about them is their ability to destigmatize mental health. I mean, they will talk openly if they're going to therapy. They don't shy away from it. If they're having a hard time, if they're having a hard day, if they're having, I mean, we can snicker at it and be like, you know, suck it up. But the truth is, we probably have forgotten that we went through stuff like that too. You know, they're just good about putting it out front. You know, they're really good about, they're very idealistic, which I think comes just with the age. I think we were too. But their idealism these days is they're faced with all these kind of big global issues, you know, that are kind of hard to wrap your head around, but they really want to see like a certain degree of social activism going on. They're just very tuned in on important matters that it seems like they kind of want it all.
Well, when I bring in young people to help me do like a gig or something, it's interesting. I'd like to get your point of view on this, Chef, because, you know, you think of cooks like, I can't speak for you, but I'll happily speak for Dan and Jeffy. You know, we'll do a gig, we'll work a 12-hour day, and then we're going to go out and have some drinks and have a little, you know, have, you know, celebratory cocktail and enjoy the night. Where a lot of these young guys now, I mean, they're like, well, I got up, I did yoga this morning, and then I went and had a massage, and then I went and had my nails manicured. I came to work. I'm going to finish work, have a nice, healthy dinner after I do a relaxing meditation. I'm going to go to bed. They treat their bodies more like an athlete would.
Oh, you know, I'm so glad you said that, because I actually give a whole talk about treating our work like an athletic event. And when you see it that way, it doesn't mean you don't have fun. And I mean, having a shift drink and hanging with the people you just did battle with is something that should never be taken away. It's a very, very important aspect of what we do.
The camaraderie of it. I think incredible.
All of it. I mean, but at the same time, it can turn unhealthy fast.
Too. Yeah. Right, Jimmy?
You know? I mean, I don't have to explain any further, do I?
No. No. Dan's shit-faced now just after the conversation.
Well, I mean, I'm listening to all this and remembering, like, my experience at CIA and thinking about, first, what Brian said earlier about not remembering me having a kid and me playing football. And I remember playing football and being involved more with the students and everybody doing everything and being cohesive as a team and doing things outside of school. But then we went to extern. I came back. I had a kid. So I had to change my whole outlook on everything. So I had to step back. I had to help with my daughter. I had to go home. Then in the middle of all that, my wife's father died. I had to leave and go take care of that, come back, try to catch up with school. You can't miss days. So there was a whole me running back and forth to Connecticut and back with a daughter and a wife and all this stuff going on and trying to deal with all that on my own. And I didn't really talk to anybody about anything.
Now students would be talking about that a lot more openly. That's the difference. Like, where we would have just taken that and we quietly kind of do our obligation and duty, they just seem more okay with just putting it all out there, for better or for worse. I don't know. I don't really pass judgment, but
man,
I didn't know anything about that was going on, Dan. But now that you're saying all that, I remember that you were a lot more present in the first half than the second half, and it makes total sense.
Yeah, I was pretty much a total different person. Like, it was a whole. It wasn't easy, and there was so many times when I wanted to quit. But something about I set myself up. I remember it was like the second to last day of high school, and I was sitting with my boy talking about, after this moment, I'm going to set myself into a direction, and I'm going to head there, because I was fucking up everything. I was a bad kid. I was hitting people with fire extinguishers. There's all kinds of shit. And then I fucking decided I was going to go. I went to Army with a plan to cook, and I was going to eventually go to culinary school, and I was going to go to CIA. And I set myself on that. So I was like, nothing is going to stop me from doing this. And I was determined, and I did it. And I did the bachelor's degree. And all of it was a struggle, but I had to do it for me. And then when you get out, you feel like this is something that, you know, is important. Just like I'm a veteran, I feel like I'm a CIA graduate. I have no problem telling people that, because I feel like that was the upper echelon of the culinary program. And the things you learned was just incredible, especially like charcuterie. I love charcuterie. But
charcuterie.
R.I.P. charcuterie.
I know. Well, there's still a lot of it in there. They do a lot of work with it. It's just not its own class. It's wild how much it's changed and the one more thing I think that's good discussions is, I think the talk about kind of what to expect from your job, I think, is important too. I think, you know, I think one of the things I like to take to task a little bit is kind of that notion that to work a 50-hour week is like to barely work. You know, like, you're not really, don't talk to me unless you're working 70 hours a week.
Right.
And I get it. I've definitely have large chunks of my time that went, you know, to doing all that. But I think the only difference is I don't particularly like it when it's written into the business plan that it's expected that every single employee needs to commit like that. And you know, to work 40 to 50 hours is, I don't know, you're not working hard enough. You're not committed enough.
That's a really good point, man.
I mean, it's an awful business plan. You can't possibly be making money with people in overtime like that.
Oh, you pay them salaries. I mean, all of it,
across the board. Yeah, and then they move the salary, and you shouldn't even be doing that, because if people can't be having managerial duties, they shouldn't be salaried. Like, absolutely. That's technically illegal. Well, but
yeah, because there's like a lot of things that follows all the laws. You're right.
No, you know what I mean. Of course, but I mean. What's wrong with, like, calling that out a little bit? It almost feels like our industry is growing up a little bit. And I know it's easy to hold on to, like, it's easy to hold on to what was and to really glorify it. And I liked the School of Hard Knocks. I liked how hard life was. I felt like I was doing something not a lot of people could handle, and I like that.
You appreciate it.
But it doesn't mean – it does. But it doesn't mean it needs to be the norm, you know, like – And I think that to have that stuff challenged, I don't think is that awful.
Well, I totally agree with you on that, too. And I want to jump into that for a few minutes more while we still got you. But, Jeff, we were going to plug him a second ago, and then I started rambling. And then Chef starts rambling. And next thing you know, Dan chimes in. So.
Yeah, it's all good. You want to check out our guest tonight, Chef Brian Kayward. You want to give him a follow on Instagram, at ChefBKCIA. And if you're up at the CIA, the Culinary Institute of America, up in the Hudson Valley, go check him out at the American Bounty Restaurant at night. Give him a call. Let him know you heard him on this show, and he'll get you a reservation. He'll get you in there.
Man,
yeah, I will.
It's a beautiful area up there, too, man. I love it up there. It is gorgeous.
So beautiful.
It's just gorgeous.
The campus is beyond insane. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I think what Jeff is talking about, too, is that when he's talking about different jobs that maybe people don't know. You know, listen, when I finished CIA, I had no idea the business that I would be getting into. You know, and granted, listen, I've got, you know, over 10 Food Network wins and all the TV shows and all that stuff helps me do the things I do. But doing the private chef work, doing one-off parties, kind of like, you know, contractor type work, I mean, you can support yourself that way and do very, very well for yourself. It takes time to build it, like with any job, but you can do that. But on the other hand, you know, you don't have to go work 90 hours a week in a restaurant at night and never see your family and stuff. Dan has an amazing job where he's making really just outrageous, delicious food. And, you know, he's working when they're not busy, but working good hours, right, Dan? I mean, that's the best way to describe it.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm chilling. I miss it sometimes. But, like, I do, and it goes back to what you guys do. Like, you're talking about private chef. I saw my first interaction with a private chef. They came to CIA. And talk to him. I don't know what it was, if it was like a class or if it was somebody's friend or how it worked or if it was one of those things in the auditorium. But there was a private chef that came in and said, hey, I go to people's houses and I cook and we put stuff in the freezer and they get the family will heat it up. And essentially I do that for Fairfield County. Like I put it out there in containers and they bring it home and they do whatever the hell they want with it. Some people freeze it. Some people, you know, put it away. And I do. I work great hours. I'm home by like, you know, 3 o'clock most days. I get to go to the gym, live my life, see my kids, and that's like a life I never thought I would have.
Right.
I never thought I'd have that shit.
Yeah, I think yeah, it's just that's good. Let you know if there's a way to let kids know that. I don't know. Maybe we should talk about that offline. That might be a way. I'm sure you could get us in contact with the right people, at least.
Yeah, I will. I'm sorry I moved away from that initial question. I think we started getting into a whole other direction.
That's what happens.
I wasn't trying to move away from that.
No, dude, this is what happens. Trust me, we haven't even fallen off the rails yet. You just wait. Just wait. No, but you know, going back to what we're talking about with salaries and things like that, I mean, listen, I just wish that we could be organized enough to have a union nationally for everybody. I just don't think it'll ever happen, but you know, I think you see it change some, but here's the issue that you have with all of it. We all say we want great wages for chefs. We all want people to make good money and get paid what they're worth. And, you know, I guess the market sets the worth, of course, depending on where you are regionally or geographically. But I think the issue comes in. We can say all these things, but if your restaurant's not making money, how can you pay the money?
I know. The restaurants are getting squeezed. I mean, to own anything – Especially if you're talking about independent restaurants, you know, like
unbelievable, right?
It is insane. It is insane environment right now to try to pull together money. Yeah, I agree. The point I was making was it's good that the conversation is expected to be had,
right?
You know, and I guess I was trying to make the point that everything should be put onto the table when it comes to making the facility money, including, you know, maybe you have a more toned down menu. Now, I love the aspect of being creative a lot. It's special. It's great. But, you know, to what end?
Right.
You know, like I guess you have to make smart business choices, and that's always going to be what matters. It's not like you can pick up every social cause that comes your way and just get behind it and run your business into the ground. But yeah. I think I respect the fact that the students just want more out of the industry in general. And I suppose that's all I was saying. I don't think that there's any definitive answer. You know, it's hard.
I think this generation of culinarians and chefs coming up in the business are probably going to be the ones to figure out a way to make that work and change that. Old, freaking grumpy old men like us, we don't know any different. That's just what we've always done.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, I'm checking out the...
I couldn't begin.
Yeah, I think so. So I'm checking out the dinner menu at American Bounty right now. Is this your menu?
Yes.
This looks delicious. I'm starving. I mean, listen, buckwheat strozzapreti, is that right?
Yes, strozzapreti, priest chokers. Yeah.
Jeffy, did you hear that?
Really?
Choking priests.
Yeah,
I know it well.
Guinea fowl sausage, broccoli rabe, ricotta salata. Do you make that sausage?
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. The strozzapreti is made by hand, too, so they have to learn how to shape that, too.
Wow, what's the shape? I don't know it.
It's kind of like a loose, raggedy twist. You know, okay. you cut a piece of pasta, maybe, I don't know, maybe half an inch wide by 2 or 3 inches, and you just do a small twist to it.
I mean,
it's pretty rustic style.
I love the delicata
squash. But it holds the
fingers.
Sauce really well.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, those are like my homage to fair food.
This is awesome. This menu looks fantastic, Chef. Seriously, it's a big menu.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, the menu will ebb and flow depending on how big the class is that I have. But if I have a large class, I have to add stations and I have to add menu items. That's just the way it works. So,
I mean,
it's a pretty large menu.
The smoked lamb shoulder with black hummus, delicata squash, carrots, and harissa. Amazing. I mean,
thank you,
guys. We got to come eat here.
Oh yeah, it sounds awesome.
This is what I'm talking about.
You know, I think that. Thank you.
Absolutely.
We're trying to. I try. I don't know. I mean, I think that I want to. I want. I got a lot of people to please being at that school. You know, and I want the students to get really enthusiastic about the food, so it has to be relevant. You know, but I also want alumni to look back and read it and be like, yeah, okay, American cuisine, regional American cuisine. This is
totally.
Not too stale. It's good. You know, like, we'll never really be bleeding edge, but I think that we can at least keep it really of the moment. So
it's a tricky balance. There, Chef, if Jeff and Dan and I come in there, can we just sit at the bar and get really toe up, or is that a bad idea?
Oh, man, you should.
No, we shouldn't. That's terrible.
That's how you make money at the bar.
I love that. You know what? We're going to go drinking tonight. Let's go to American Bounty.
Do it, man. You know, I mean, the thing that's changed since we were there is that it was a really kind of like a special night out, and it definitely is. I mean, it's a good menu, and it is a nice night out, but I still try to keep it approachable and light and I don't know. I think that you could. I think you could go belly up and have some fun.
What kind of food costs do they want you to run?
You know, they don't, it's not talked about a whole lot, to be honest with you. No, I think that they've probably run the numbers on our food costs and they're satisfied, and so therefore, if it ain't broke, they don't really bring it up with me.
Oh, look at the.
I mean, the truth is, I do pretty well with it. I mean, I'm using a lot of forage stuff. I do a lot of food recovery, like food waste and sustainability is like deeply woven into how I operate that kitchen. So
very cool.
We do pretty good with that stuff.
Wow, very cool. Maybe we should introduce him to Rethink Food NYC.
Absolutely. And if he hasn't already heard of him, I'm sure.
Yeah, I have. I've crossed paths with Rethink Food. I'm trying to remember how.
Well, it's our good friend Matt Jozwiak started that foundation. They're out of Brooklyn, the Naval Yards. I think he started maybe 4 or 5 years ago. They're a nonprofit that collects food from high-end restaurants and hotels, pasteurizes it, recooks it, and gives it out free to pantries all over New York City and in the area.
Man, that's such good work.
He's such a good
person, too. It's crazy. They just to prove a point, they went to Chicago to the James Beard Awards, and I can't remember the exact number, but I think it was somewhere around 1,200 people they fed off the waste of one event.
How crazy is that?
I remember reading about that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty dope, man. So listen, before we get you out of here, Chef, and I really enjoyed the conversation, man. I'd love to have you on again because I think we barely even scratched the surface with any of this stuff. There's so much there to talk about.
I think there's a lot to talk about, too. I'd be happy to come back on.
Dude, there's so much to talk about, and I think it's really awesome that you went back there to be an instructor. And I mean, you sound like a guy who I'd love to hang out with and talk with about food more because you really know what you're talking about. But for me, looking at you coming back to being an instructor, how hard was that process for you? Like how does that happen? Do you become an instructor at CIA? What is the whole, you know, what are the hoops that make you jump through?
So it goes at a snail's pace. The whole process taught, and apparently it was pretty quick for me, but I mean, it could go like 3 or 4 months long, but you apply and it's pretty kind of cold and transactional. You're just doing it online. You have no idea if anybody even received it or not. And you get a phone call to come do an interview. You sit down an interview with a lot of important people in white coats, and it's pretty it's pretty intense, you know, to be honest with you. As much as I felt at home there, it's something else going there and being around, you know, people that you really deeply respect. And then if you get called back for a second interview, that second interview you do a cooking practical. So you have to do a cooking practical and a teaching practical as well, and you have to do like a demo and a partial lecture. And they have this whole system of judging, you know, your pros and cons of what you bring to the table and if it's a fit.
God, practical exams bring back. Just you saying practical exam makes my stomach turn a little bit.
I have to tell you, it, to be completely candid, it was a really fun but really, really intense experience. Just because so much is riding on it. Like, you really, for me, I really wanted the job.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, you just don't want something silly to happen, you know, that you're like, that gets in your way. And You know what you can do, you get too nervy or something. So it's pretty intense. Yeah, I mean, you have somebody in the kitchen. You know, I had someone proctoring my work, and he was going through and taking pictures of my prep, and I'm fabricating things, and he wants to, you know, take pictures of how much what kind of trim I have and what I'm throwing away, and you know, it's all of that. Yeah, it's all of that.
Wow.
It was fun. I mean, it was a lot of fun. You basically get a mystery basket and you have to do 4 courses and, you know, put it out for everybody to critique.
Well, that process right there is why they get some of the best chef instructors in the world. It's why they call it the world's premier culinary college, Jeffy. That's why they call it that.
Absolutely.
Throw a plug out there for
I was told I was the only one who passed that year.
Really?
It's crazy. It's
intense.
You're like the Highlander.
It's pretty intense.
The yeah, Islander the chefs.
One. Survival of the fittest.
It can only be
Brian
one.
Kate work.
Jeff, throw his plug out there for his Instagram and stuff so we can get him on out of here.
Absolutely. Go give Chef Brian a follow at ChefBKCIA on Instagram. And if you're up in Hyde Park in the Hudson Valley, go to the college, go to the American Bounty Restaurant, try some of this amazing food. That smoked lamb shoulder with the black hummus and harissa sounds fire. I can't wait to go up there and check it out myself.
There it is.
Oh, man, I hope you guys do.
Chef,
yeah, I see the pictures on your Instagram. You look good.
Oh, yeah, the Instagram's looking Thanks. Good, man, for sure. Yo, listen, Chef,
yeah,
we appreciate
and he's a beautiful man, right? I mean, come on. Let's give the guy the credit.
He's a good-looking guy. Yeah. All right, yeah,
we got. I think we got to shut down this thing right now. I mean, I love how you guys treat your guests, but come on, man.
All right, if you want to see a very ugly individual who's kind of a jackass, make sure you check. No, Chef,
my
we,
way.
We appreciate your time tonight, man. Thank you very, very much. Listen, that's why they call it the world's premier culinary college. That's all I can say. You talk to great chefs like this who are there instructing. And for me, it gives hope for the younger chefs that are coming up, the next generation, Jeffy. Dan, what a great guy to introduce us to. We appreciate it. Brian, we'll talk to you on down the road, brother. Take care of yourself.
All right, guys. This is real good.
Take care, brother.
Great to meet you, man. Right, great man. To meet you.
Same.
Meanwhile, back on the show...
Man, dude, it's like a flashback in the past for me to have that conversation with with Chef. That was awesome, dude. I love talking about that stuff, Dan. Like, it's like a throwback, you know?
Yo, I feel so nostalgic right now. Like, it took me back to my 20s. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like I could throw down. I could do 100 hours in the kitchen right now.
Bro.
I could do whatever it is, you know?
I mean, it's a way of life, you know, what we did at CIA. I mean, you literally spend years of your life like in this program, and like it's their way or the highway, you know?
Oh yeah, it's like military shit.
Yeah,
like it was definitely regimented to set you up to either succeed on the highest level. If you succeeded, if you were right. If you were able to make it through, you came out at the top of your game,
right? And Jeff, when you hear those conversations, because you're not a culinary school guy, but when you hear those conversations, does it like sound positive to you, or does it sound just fucking terrible?
I mean, it's like a mix. I definitely get a little FOMO of like the CIA culture and like, you know, how you got. It's kind of the same way I felt about the Navy. You know, it's like when I was younger and I had the opportunity to be in the Navy, I was like, oh man, go fuck all, because I didn't know anyone really in the Navy. And it didn't seem like anything I would ever want to fucking do. But then after I met a bunch of dudes in the Navy, I was like, oh, shit, man. Navy seems cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know.
It's good brothers.
And then, yeah, and that's kind of how I felt about hearing you guys talk about the CIA. I mean, it was like coming up, like I shared what happened with me with culinary school. And, I didn't go.
Right.
But after hearing your guys' story, I was like, damn, I could have. Maybe I could have gone, you know. Right. Maybe I could have made a different path, you know. Who knows? And
well,
whatever.
Just, while you're talking about the Navy, I just want to shout out our good brother Cinnamon. He's made a long trek across the country. He's re-upped with the Navy for just a couple more years. He's heading out in the submarine here really, really soon. Big shout out to him. We love him very much. Stay safe,
love
brother.
You, Cinnabon.
We love you. Cinnabon. Stay safe, buddy. Stay safe, Cinnabon. Jesus. Yeah, and I love that, Dan, that you got a relationship, too, which is really cool, because it's tough. I mean, a lot of the guys at culinary school, like, it's tough. I haven't talked to anybody from my class in a long time.
Yeah, I'd say social media has helped that a lot, because I have a few people. I got, you know, a boy out in Hong Kong, my boy Maceo. He's out there teaching, too. He's actually a teacher instructor in Hong Kong.
But you make it sound like Hong Kong's out, like, right around the corner. You're, like, out there in Hong Kong, like, it's right around down the block.
I mean, for all I know, it is. Maybe it's just a drive away. I don't know.
All right.
Nah, what's his name? Maceo?
Yeah, Maceo Baldwin.
Oh,
he's he's a CIA graduate. He was with me in bachelor's. I mean, I talked to a few people. It's, like I said, thanks to social media, you kind of keep in contact.
Yeah,
get
yeah.
them up. How's it going? What's going on? See what they're doing. A lot of people aren't in it. A lot of people I know from CIA aren't even cooking anymore.
Oh,
which
damn.
Is crazy.
You call him Hong Kong Maceo and then sing the Hong Kong Phooey theme song to him?
Absolutely.
Fuck yeah. That is what's up right there. I'd call him HKM.
HKM.
Yep.
HKM. That's what his name is for awesome. Now on.
I mean, I think there's a dude named HKM in NWA wrestling, Jeffy. Is there or no?
How would I know?
I was trying to catch you. I was trying to fucking catch you. I was trying to force a slip
what
up.
What are you talking about, dude? NWA.
Don't maybe start.
N words with attitude.
No, listen. Also,
Dr. Stop. Dre?
Yes. Ice Cube. Eazy-E. All right? Ice Cube will swarm.
Okay. You did call me from that Georgia number, though.
See? What the fuck, Jeffy? Are we going to bring this back up? Is this happening right now? This wasn't part of the plan. This isn't on the agenda. But did you call him from a Georgia number?
What the plan is. What are you talking about?
All right, listen. Let me just refresh everybody's memory one sec, if you don't mind. NWA Power, one of the greatest pro wrestling programs on at this time, right? It's based on very throwback to the 80s. There's a pro wrestler that Jeffy plays called The Question Mark. He flies down once every month or so. And plays this. Plays this. Now,
I don't play this guy.
Oh, fucking! Would you stop it? Just come clean.
All right. Whatever.
Listen, here's the thing. He has a tag team partner, right? Aaron Stevens, and we talked to Aaron Stevens, and this is what he said.
Allow me to beg your indulgence for one moment.
This is Aaron Stevens.
This is the former intellectual savior of the masses, now third-degree NWA national
Never
champion Aaron Stevens.
Life.
Third degree.
And the following message is brought to you on behalf of Plum Love Foods.
Here you go.
Live. In recent weeks, I've gotten several emails, letters.
People are asking him.
Asking me, is Jeff the question mark?
See?
And I will say this. I will neither confirm nor deny Jeff being the question mark.
Listen.
But let's just look at the facts.
Let's do it.
The question mark is a 10th degree black belt in Mongolian karate
or
karate. Man of mystery.
Yep. Jeffy.
And the question mark and Jeff have never been seen together in the same setting.
What the
so
fuck?
Let's think about that. Huh. I mean, let's say I wanted to disclose who the question mark was.
Please.
I don't even know if I could for fear of my life.
Oh, come on.
But due to my association with the question mark,
right.
I'm not saying.
Oh,
so you guys will have to just kind of research yourself.
That's terrible.
Have a lovely, lovely 2020. And as always, you're welcome.
There it is. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say except for, I think, Dan, we figured it out.
Okay, guys.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about your evidence here for a second.
It's all very solid.
Concrete.
Very circumstantial at best.
This shit's
and
like a brick wall.
It's like the fact that me and the question mark have never been seen. I mean, I've also been never been seen
Wait,
with Ronald McDonald.
Say, oh, what's that, Jeffy?
I've never me and Ronald McDonald the Clown have never been in the same room together. Does that mean I'm possibly Ronald McDonald?
Are we onto something here? Is there more you want to tell us, Jeffy? Dan, how many secrets does he have?
I don't know. I'm feeling real let down right now because I feel like
he was
I
our friend.
Even know who you are, Jeff.
He was our friend.
Fuck, guys, come on. All right, listen.
We love Jeffy. We thought. I mean,
I don't.
He's a father, a chef. Oh, P.S. He moonlights as one of the greatest professional wrestlers to ever live and a 10th degree black belt in Mongolian karate.
All right. Huge fan of martial arts, yes.
See?
I mean, my hands are weapons, absolutely. But I don't practice Mongolian karate.
Oh, now he's pretending like he can't say it.
Karate.
Mm-hmm.
Karate. See,
no,
I don't...
No, see. Putting up the front now is just making you look bad.
Right?
Listen, you guys, I haven't watched wrestling since it was WWF.
Yeah, and this is, again, you notice how he's playing semantics here, Dan. Because he would say, I haven't watched wrestling since it was WWF. No, you have participated in pro wrestling. I see what you're doing here when you try to like play semantics with the wording of things, Jeffy.
What?
This is the
also,
greatest
think
time
what
ever.
Wasn't said. Let's think about what wasn't said. He didn't say Jeff wasn't the question mark.
That's what I'm saying.
Why wouldn't he just say that? What does he have to lose? We could have just said he's not, but he
right.
didn't.
And those words have never come out of your mouth. Because you know why, Jeff? Because you're not a goddamn liar. You won't lie to the people, me, and good brother Dan sitting right here in front of you right now. You will tell us the truth every single time. You have to. That's what your soul tells you to do. You can't lie to us, which is why you've never once said, I am not the question mark.
I'm not the question mark.
What?
I'm not.
I think it might be time to move on. This isn't going anywhere.
I've never... I don't even own a mask. And why would I cover this face up? Look how beautiful I am.
Well, you know what would happen. That's why.
I mean, you put me on the big screen because you believe in my beauty. And you think I would just put a sack on it?
It's all in the plan, Jeffy. It's all in the plan. Don't you see? Aren't you with me here? Can't you figure it out, man? It's all part of the plan. If I can get you on TV, if I can get you feeling comfortable, if I can get you there, maybe, just maybe, you'll call me and say, hey, Plum, are you recording this conversation? I'll say, why? No, Jeffy, I'm not. Listen, I'm going for the tag team titles on New England, on NWA Power, you know, Billy Corgan's wrestling promotion in Georgia. I need you to come with me and walk me to the ring. That's why I'm setting it up, because I know you are going to give me that greatest gift of all, Jeffy. That greatest gift of all, you're going to give it to me. You know what that is? You know what that is? The gift of confidence to finally, after all these years, walk to the ring like my idols, like Dusty Rhodes, like Harley Race, like the great Ric Flair. Woo! You want to give me that opportunity. That's why. That's why you're doing this, Jeff.
Listen, brother. If I were the question mark, and I'm not, but if I were the question mark, there wouldn't be anyone other than you that I would want to march down in front of me in that ring, being the great herald that you are, shouting the praises. But it would have to be like Big Jeffrey, the question answerer, you know, or I don't know. See, I'm not even a good wrestler.
What is he saying, Dan? What is he talking about?
Complete.
He's trying to change the subject.
Is what I'm trying to say.
He's trying to flatter you to get your mind off of the real situation.
And I think you're right. And you know what, Jeffy? I'm going to end this conversation right now because this is going to a dark place.
Why? Because I read this article about these things in food that you should hear about. Really gross. It's like it's crazy.
Here, Plum. Here's something shiny. Look at it. Huh?
No, man. It's really weird. You got to hear this. It's crazy. It's like you want to talk about this more anyway. Trust me. It's
really question mark.
Why do you keep saying that?
All right. We can move on. I'm just telling you that Aaron Stevens says it, so I believe it. Let me say this. He didn't say you weren't.
Didn't say you weren't.
That's fine.
He's a man of honor. That is a man of honor, Dan. That's who we just heard the voice of. A man of honor. He wasn't going to lie to us. He was going to tell us the truth, right?
I'm not saying anything about good brother Aaron Rodgers. He seems
he plays for the Packers. Nothing to do with any of this.
What?
Aaron Rodgers.
Steve Rodgers? Who are we talking?
No, that's
Steve
Captain America.
Sorry. Steve Rodgers is an amazing guy. He's
no,
a good
that's
American.
Captain America.
He's good looking. I want to thank
him. Oh, I get it now. You're trying to play like you don't know who he is. Like you don't know he's your tag team partner.
Here we go. Ah. Here we go. All right, listen. It's Aaron Stevens.
Oh, exactly. Steven Aarons is a good brother. He's a super smart individual. I can tell just by the way he smiles.
That's true.
You know, he knows that I'm not the question mark. He knows I'm not. I mean,
knows, then why didn't he? I don't want to keep going back and forth. This isn't working. We're going to get more evidence. Dan and I are on the case.
You need more evidence. You guys better do some more detective work. You better get on a Batman and Sherlock.
Batman and Sherlock. That's the two world's greatest detectives right there, and that's who you got
now. I'm trying to give you guys props because I think you need it, and you need some encouragement because you're fucking failing right now. I'm just telling you.
Jesus. All right.
Wow.
I don't think he needs to attack us, but we'll figure it out.
Listen. I have Ultimate Warrior sunglasses that I will put on right now.
Warriors. You got to finish every promo you cut by him like this. That's what he did after every promo.
Yeah, did you see the promo I sent you?
I did, but you didn't snort. I wanted you to snort at the end.
I did. I went.
Oh, that's pretty good, too.
He used to do that all the time. Like, he'd weasel out.
Did you look up, before you sent that to me, did you look up and watch an Ultimate Warrior promo just so you'd get a refresher?
Oh, absolutely. I watched several of them.
I love it.
I watched several of them.
Hell yeah. That motherfucker said so much crazy shit. All right, listen. We're totally off the subject here. Dan, I apologize. Jeffy took us off the subject with his denying of being the question mark. But listen.
What are you talking about?
I think that, culinary school was a great thing for me. It was a great thing for Dan, but it's not something you have to do. But I think it does give you an in. It does give you some background knowledge, some things that maybe you didn't have in the past. I said it in the show during the interview. I said, listen, I was a phenomenal line cook, right? I could inspire a group of individuals to be a kitchen manager. Like I could do that. I was by no means a chef. Like I didn't know what a brunoise was, like I said on the interview. I think going to CIA, Dan, really kind of gave me that basis, that background to understand some of those, you know, classic things that I hadn't been exposed to, you know, in my career.
No, yeah, 100%. I agree because you say in that statement, I think about when I was in the Army, I was 19 years old. I was telling, you know, much older 25, 26, 27-year-old men what to do. I became the leader without even trying because I was in the kitchen and it was just something about what I did and how I did it and how I expected things to be done. And even though it was the Army and the food wasn't at the top of, you know, what I would hope it had been, when I went in, it was that kind of transition that set me into the CIA world that helped me to know that I was headed in the right direction and that I was that type of person, that this was my calling. And going to school like took me to that next level, learning all those techniques and all those different ideas and talking to all the different chefs from all the different classes. It really helped.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. And Jeffy, those are some of the things you learned just kind of from, you know, working in the business, right?
Yeah, well, listen, this is what I got from working in the business. I got mentored by some great chefs. And one chef, he's gone now, Danyo, he had taught me one thing he said to me all the time. And I think it's something that you guys both learned at school. And he just drilled it into me. And he said, discipline is your best friend. Stop thinking discipline is, you know, he's like, you're like a terrible child. You need discipline. You need to understand you have to do it every day the same way. You have to come at the right time. You have to, you know, he would always beat the shit into me. And then, like, after working for him for a couple of years and leaving, I was, like, better than every other line cook I ever walked in the line with because he had beat the discipline in me. And it kind of, like, even though I'm an animal, you know, I like to party. I like to run around and be crazy. When I'm in the kitchen, I'm very, like, I almost have, like, a different hat. And I think that's what you guys learned from school is how to, like, the culinary discipline.
Right. You know, and that discipline's super important, you know, to have that and to understand and get a respect for the business that, you know, I think CIA.
It's your best friend, man. Yeah. Discipline's your best friend.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it, man. But a great conversation with him, and I can't wait to have a few more because there was definitely a lot more there to talk about.
Absolutely. That was a great conversation.
Totally. Totally. I want to talk more about the restaurant he's working at, the American Bounty, the one he's the chef at, that he's teaching all those kids, pumping out killer food with students,
yeah.
Which was it just really blew my mind. I mean, it just speaks to what a great chef Brian is.
And they're Zagat rated. Like, they don't – I mean, they're one of the highest rated. Like, they don't play games. Like, CIA is like – it just sets a standard, and the standard is the standard no matter who's there. You know, don't you think that's how it is, Dan?
Oh yeah, when I went there in high school to visit it, you had this just feeling of just I don't know, it was just a overwhelming sensation of like glory. Like you came in like Notre Dame, I would say, like where you go to the it's like a school of upper echelon,
yeah.
That just you just and then when you're there and you feel that belonging, it's just something you got to be a part of. For me, it was anyway.
Yeah, thank you. Check out the program tonight. We really appreciate it. Jeffy appreciates it. You can tell us. So is Dan and Dave. Listen, please remember, food is one of the most important things in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. And we'll see you guys next week right here on Plum Love Foods Live.
I'm the tower of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters. Do you think I'm crazy?